If someone were asked to summarize the earthly mission of Jesus in a single word, many Christians would probably answer peace. The Bible so frequently connects Jesus with peace that many Christians naturally would think of peace as the defining theme of Jesus' mission. And they would have good reason. We hear about it at Christmas. We hear about it throughout Holy Week. We hear about it after the resurrection. We hear about it from the words of the apostles and the prophets. And that is exactly why today's gospel sounds so surprising. We expect Jesus to speak about peace, not about a sword. Which is why these words in Matthew can leave us scratching our heads. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." These words seem completely out of place. The Prince of Peace himself says he come bringing a sword. The ones whose birth was announced by angels singing of peace says he did not come to bring peace. So how can these things be true? So to answer that question, we must dig into Scripture itself. So first, let's see how the Bible consistently proclaims that Christ came to bring peace. And then let's see how the Bible also teaches that Christ brings a sword. And then finally, we'll see how these two truths fit together. The story begins long before Bethlehem. It begins in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, sin entered the world and shattered the peace that existed between God and man. Humanity was forever separated from its creator. Yet even in that moment, God promised a savior. Genesis 3:15 says that God declared that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Already, God was announcing his plan to restore the peace that sin had broken. And as the centuries passed, that promise became clearer. The prophet Isaiah looked ahead to the coming Messiah and declared, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now notice that last title. It doesn't say Prince of War. It doesn't say Prince of Division. It says Prince of Peace. Centuries later, the prophet Micah would add, speaking of the Messiah, "He shall be their peace." Then came that holy night in Bethlehem. The angels appeared to the shepherds and announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The first public proclamation of the Christ's birth was a proclamation of peace. The Savior had come, and with him came peace. Throughout his ministry, Jesus continued to speak of peace. In the Sermon on the Mount, he declared, "Blessed are the peacemakers." On the night before his crucifixion, he told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." A few verses later, he said, "In me you have peace." Then on Easter evening, when the disciples were hiding in fear of the Jews behind locked doors, the risen Christ stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And just in case they missed it, he said it again, "Peace be with you." The apostles carried that same message into the world. St. Paul writes to the Romans, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." To the Ephesians, he says, "He himself is our peace." To the Colossians, he proclaims that God was pleased through Christ to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. From Genesis to the prophets, from Bethlehem to Calvary, from Easter morning to the apostolic writings, Scripture repeatedly proclaims that Christ came to bring peace. Then the Prince of Peace says something that leaves us perplexed. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Scripture reveals that the theme of conflict also runs throughout the life of Christ. Almost as soon as Jesus was born, King Herod sought to kill him. The Prince of Peace entered into the world, and the world responded with violence. During his ministry, opposition followed Jesus everywhere he went. The Pharisees accused him, the scribes challenged him, his hometown, even his own family, rejected him. Many of his disciples abandoned him, and eventually the crowds cried out, "Crucify him!" The world did not welcome the peace Christ brought. It nailed that peace to the cross. Jesus had warned his disciples that the same thing would happen to them. Earlier in Matthew 10, he says, "A brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child." And then he adds, "I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother." The division becomes so severe that a person's enemies will be those of his own household. And history proved him right. The apostles were arrested, Stephen was stoned, James was executed, Paul was imprisoned. Christians throughout the centuries have suffered ridicule, rejection, persecution, and even death because of their confession of Christ. The sword Jesus spoke about has appeared again and again throughout history. Even today, following Christ can create division. Believers may find themselves at odds with coworkers, friends, neighbors, and even family members because of their faith. This happens not because Christians seek conflict, not because Christians enjoy arguing. This happens because faith in Christ sometimes puts believers at odds with a world that rejects him. So now we have our dilemma. Scripture says Christ came to bring peace. Scripture also says Christ brings a sword. How do we reconcile those two? Well, the answer lies in understanding what kind of peace Jesus came to bring. When most people think about peace, they think about the absence of war, the absence of conflict. They think about everyone just getting along. Can't we all just get along? I think about harmony in families and communities and nations. But that is not primarily the peace Jesus came to establish. The greatest conflict in the universe was never between nations. It was never between political parties, Trump haters versus Trump supporters. It was never even between family members. The greatest conflict was between a sinful humanity and their holy God. That is the conflict that Jesus came to resolve. St. Paul writes, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Through his death, resurrection, Jesus made a way for peace between God and us sinners. The separation that our sin created has been ended by the cross. Our guilt has been removed. Our debts have been paid. Our condemnation has been taken away. Through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. That is the peace that was promised by the prophets, announced by the angels, accomplished by Christ, proclaimed by the apostles. But that peace doesn't leave people neutral. Christ demands a response. Some receive him in faith. Others reject him in unbelief. Some cling to the forgiveness offered by the cross while others refuse his grace. Some confess his name before the world while others deny him. The peace that Christ brings becomes the very thing that reveals the divisions in the human heart. And that is where the sword appears. The sword is not Christ's ultimate purpose. Peace is his purpose. The sword is a consequence of a world divided over him. The same gospel that creates faith in one heart is rejected by another. The same Christ who is a savior to believers becomes a stumbling block to unbelievers. The same Christ who brings peace to those who believe in him becomes a dividing line for those who deny him. The sword exists because the world rejects the peace that Christ offers. And yet, even here, there is comfort. Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. He never promised universal acceptance or that everyone would applaud our faith. But what he did promise was something far greater. He promised forgiveness. He promised reconciliation with the Father. He promised eternal life. And one day the sword will be gone. The divisions of this world will end. The conflicts that arise because of sin and belief will cease forever. The Prince of Peace will return. And his kingdom of peace will be fully revealed. And on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and his people will dwell in perfect peace forever. Until then, we cling to the peace he has already won for us through his blood. We should not be surprised when the sword of division appears, for Jesus told us it would. Wherever Christ is confessed, some will believe and others will reject. But the divisions of this world cannot rob us of our peace that Jesus has secured with God. The one who brings the sword is the very one who also says, "Peace be with you." And because he has reconciled us to God through his cross, that peace is ours, now and forever. Amen.